Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Us. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we? What are the differences between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would also like to thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me, my meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I do invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural laws versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? So stay tuned in for all of our studies, then show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. And this month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Confusion Programs by Servant King, presented by Marcus. Marcus' website, www.servantking.info.com. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hidden in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward if you can renew your mind. We have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Confusion of mind, being, voice, faith, law, things, money, and God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problem so that we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity faces, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problem to begin talking about the solution to these problems. These root core causal factors is about creating a positive change in your world. It is about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these causal factors is not just about your awakening, but about taking action in the process of informing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root causal factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan. He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
In May 2018, as I laid in my bed, the Creator began to open my eyes to more questions I had concerning this life we live on earth. It was the day of the royal wedding in England. I wondered how the royals made their money, where it came from, and what was their industry of choice. With my handy iPhone at my side, I Googled the answers, which revealed many things to my surprise. I discovered the wars between the North and the South and the rebuilding of the United States of America and a deal made with the foreign affairs and the fact that we are no longer the United States of America, but only the United States as established by the Act of 1871 when the United States became a corporation. The unveiling did not stop here. The Creator led me to many internet documents, YouTube video books, and periodicals. This revelation was mind-shattering. Again, the Jesus Christ I had read about in the Holy Bible was not a historical man, spirit, at all. Preface, Part 4. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. What is a servant king? A servant king is the birthright of every man from the moment of his first breath until his natural death. Birthright is a term not much used in our vocabulary today. Most people would equate it with some royal lineage or maybe their right to citizenship. This is our birthright that holds our inheritance, which in turn holds all of our power, property, rights, and duties, and is our single most valuable possession. Unfortunately and unwittingly, we have all been deceived into abandoning our birthright in order to assume a graven identity. This presentation does not contain Marcus' opinions or what he believes to be true, only that is really happening in our everyday lives. During Marcus' quest, he made many discoveries that are not only unbelievable, but apparently are real, true, and happening. He learned that belief is only the lack of knowledge, a poor and foolish substitute for the truth. Belief stands opposed to knowledge. The concepts explained in the presentations affect everyone, the people of every nation on earth. Some of these concepts are easy to see once they are exposed, but some are very difficult to grasp. There is a subtlety to them. Right now, these concepts are foreign and alien to your way of thinking. These concepts will require you to think like you have never thought before.
The Living Testimony is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives the Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and welcome to Servant King. This program is called Confusion of Law. In this program, I will be providing more confusion, but also unraveling a few things. Law and government, as you know it, or are presumed to know it. Everyone's presumed to know the law. Our justice system cannot work without it, without that premise. This program is basically going to be an unconventional lesson in civics. You were all taught civics in school, And of course, the media continually reports on it. Now, there's a reason why over 90% of all our elected representatives in government, and why prime ministers and presidents and law leaders of different countries are lawyers. Leaders that are not lawyers have an extra pillow in bed with them for their lawyer. You see, they're the only ones who know how this all really works. There are all kinds of groups in the world protesting things, yet none of them even know what the root problem is of what they're protesting. Governments humor them by allowing them to peacefully protest, but behind the scenes they're just calling you idiots. When's the last time you saw a group of lawyers out on the street protesting something? They don't. Or large corporations. No, they don't do that. They're not idiots. I see Aboriginal groups protesting for things they claim they own. Why would you protest owning something? I think they're confused. I see people protesting that 1% of all the people have 99% of the wealth. But wealthy people don't own anything either. I think you're confused. I see groups protesting against things like abortions. They want unborn babies or human beings to be declared to be persons. They're confused. I see groups who oppose all statute law and only want to be governed by the common law. I want my common law rights. That's it. I don't want any more laws. Well, I think you're confused. I see groups protesting saying, I want to be I'm a free man on the land. A common law free man. They already are. They're confused. Is that what you really want to be? I see people fighting in court for the custody of their own children. I think they're confused. And who do all these groups and people go to for help? You guessed it. The masters of confusion. So my lesson to you will hopefully make you realize how futile your protests are. Hopefully you will stop doing what you're doing and change direction. There is something you can do, but what you're doing, it will not be helpful. To govern means to exercise authority to administer the laws. Government is an organization that exercises authority. So basically, to govern means to control something you own. What is law? Well, the Black's Law Dictionary, first edition, sort of says it best. It says law is that which is laid down, ordained, or established. That's it. Laid down, set, established. A rule or method according to which phenomena or actions coexist and follow each other. That which is laid down and established by a supreme power or being. The Canadian Law Dictionary says a rule to govern action. Now, I've heard of all kinds of law. I've heard of public law, corporate law, family law, administrative law, international law, criminal lawyer. That would be a lawyer that's a criminal. Civil law, common law of physics, law of mathematics, law of gravity, law of God. You can break the law, you can't break the law. Nobody's above the law. Everyone is under the law. A lawmaker, municipal law, constitutional law, the royal law enforcement, man-made law, old law, new law, spent law, court of law. There ought to be a law against that. The supreme law is the Constitution. The law is always speaking. We can amend the law, repeal a law, strike down a law. And on we go about law. If you break the law, it's wrong. If you obey the law, that is right. Now here's a few things you should think about carefully. I'm going to pose some questions. Just think about these things by yourself with your good normal brain. Has anyone ever asked why they have to obey the law? Is there a law that says you have to obey the law? Lawyers and many others in our society make an oath to obey the law, or they can't be a lawyer. Did you make an oath to obey the law? Why do some people make an oath to obey the law and others do not? Are we not all equal under the law? Surely someone who makes an oath to obey the law has a greater duty than one that has not made an oath or promise. Maybe you don't have to obey the law. Maybe it's just being forced on you. It's possible. Or maybe you're on someone else's land, some land that somebody's claimed. And they say, while you're on my land, you have to obey my law. While you're under my roof, while you're in my family, while you're in my house, you have to obey my law. It's possible. Lawyers have to have a license to practice the law. Do you have a license to practice the law? Practicing the law without a license is illegal. Maybe you should stop practicing the law before you get into trouble. We say we are a nation, a country of laws, governed by the rule of law. I guess we could say we are a society of laws, a law society. Then I must be a member of a law society. I know lawyers are members of a law society. But am I a member of a law society? Maybe I am. I can choose to represent myself in court. Does that make me an officer of the court? But if we're all members of a law society, does that mean I'm a lawyer? I practice the law. Maybe I am. Did you know that lawyers are taught in law schools to disregard what they may think is right or wrong? Just get that out of your head. They're trained to only think in terms of what is legal or illegal. Have you been taught to disregard what is right and wrong? And to think in terms of only what is legal or illegal? If you're going to represent yourself in court, disregarding what is right and wrong would be helpful. So, the basic definition of legal insanity rests upon your ability to know what is right and wrong. If you don't know what's right and wrong, you can't be held legally responsible. You're insane. So if your lawyer has been trained to disregard what is right and wrong, your lawyer doesn't know what's right or wrong. Is your lawyer legally insane? Legally, he must be. Even judges will render a legal opinion. It may be right, it may be wrong, but it will be legal. So what does legal mean? If I do what is legal and refrain from doing what is illegal, is that right or wrong? It's neither right nor wrong. It's either legal or illegal. Killing Jews in Germany was legal. Abortion is legal. Sodomy is legal. Hating sodomy is illegal. Legalese, the language of a law society. Dictionaries tell you, legal means according to law, in conformity with law, recognized and valid in law, agrees with the law. Why not just say it's the law? If it was the law, then we would not need the word legal. I think legal has more to do with the will, your will, or more specifically, willful support. Why? Because the legal system requires your will. If you cannot form a will, you cannot be held legally responsible for your act. Didn't know what I was doing. Also, a legal system requires your support. If something is legal, you have a leg to stand on. Support. If it is illegal, you do not have a leg to stand on. No support. You will find no support for something illegal. I also know that a will has no force or effect while the testator of the will is still alive. I have to wonder how the will of the people, which is the supreme law, has any force or effect while we're all still walking around alive. Let's talk about real law. Never heard that word before. I made it up. We've heard of positive law, but what's real law? Well, real law is just the way things are, the way things ought to be. You could say that real law is always right and proper. I wonder if we could make real law illegal. The law of gravity. That's real law. Just the way it is. I can't create it, amend it, repeal it. It's been laid down and established by someone. Someone made that law. Maybe I could get my member of parliament to write a bill to amend gravitational law. If I can get that law passed, I'll be able to jump 60 feet high, like Superman. I'll be able to practice the supernatural, something beyond, something that transgresses the law. I've just told you one of the most important parts of the trick. Making laws is the practice of the supernatural. Law of mathematics. Who made 4 plus 4 equals 8? Who made that law? 4 plus 4 equals 8 is right. 4 plus 4 equals 9 is wrong. When I was in school, the teacher would say, "That's right, that's wrong." That sounds like real law to me. I remember when I was in grade 11, I took a course in legal math. Yeah, legal math. I remember the teacher asked me, he said, "Marcus, what is 8 plus 8? I said, 88. She said, "No, Marcus, that's illegal. That's illegal." I had to go to jail for a month. So, real law is something you can scientifically test repeatedly and always get the same result. That is law. Laws cannot be changed. It is established, or it's not real law. It is immutable. What makes law enforceable? Well, the promise. What makes law? The will of something. What makes law enforceable? The promise of the will. What makes a promise enforceable? The right of the promisee. The one who received the promise. He has a right to that. You see, the will is always about the future. It is like prophecy. I will see you next Tuesday. You never say, "I will see you last Wednesday." And if you say you will come and see me next Tuesday, that is a promise, and I have a right to it. Are you going to keep your word? Now, that's all you need to know about law for now. What is law? This comes from the Ministry of Justice, Justice Canada website. What is law? Then the next thing underneath, they put why we need laws. You see, this is a bait and switch. They're going to tell you, what is the law? But they can't do that. So now they're just going to tell you why we need laws, but you're going to think they're telling you what is the law. So I'll read this little short thing they had on their website, government website. Almost everything we do has a set of rules. There are rules for games, for social clubs, for sports, and for the workplace. Rules of morality and custom should tell us what we should and should not do. Rules made by government are called laws. Laws are meant to control or change our behavior. And unlike rules of morality, they are enforced by the courts. Excuse me? Unlike rules of morality, the courts don't enforce rules of morality. They just said morality and custom tells us what the law is. Just contradict themselves. If you break a law, whether you like that law or not, what do you mean whether I like that law or not? It's either your law or it isn't your law. It has nothing to do with liking it or not liking it. See, they're not going to tell you what the law is, how the law is made, and how this works. They just tell you whether you like it or not. Send a policeman out with a gun. Force it on you. Scare the hell out of you. You don't know anything about the law. This is your government writing to you. Whether you like it or not, obey the law. You may have to pay a fine, pay for the damage you've done, or go to jail. Ever since people began to live together in society, laws have been necessary to hold that society together. Did you know that? Is that why we have law? To keep you in captivity, locked together in a society? I thought laws were like to protect your life and your property and don't kill each other and steal. No, no. They're saying laws are necessary to hold you all together so you can't get out, can't escape. Imagine the chaos and danger if drivers just chose which side of the street to drive on. Imagine trying to buy and sell goods if no one had to keep a promise or fulfill contracts. See, contracts are full of promises, considerations. So you see, it's the promises that can be enforced. It's the only thing that can be enforced in law. Imagine trying to hold on to your personal property or even keep yourself safe if there were no laws against robbery or assault. Doesn't talk about owning any property. It says you're going to hold personal property. Even in a well-ordered society, people have disagreements. The conflicts arise. The law provides a way to resolve disputes peacefully. If two people claim the same piece of property, rather than fight, they turn to the law and the courts to decide who is the real owner. So who's the real owner? The courts. The court is the owner. Only the owner can decide what to do with this property. The courts will decide who can have or hold it, keep it. They put real owner. That's a lie. That's a fraud. Your own government, when it lies to you and says you're the owner, it's not true. That's a fraud. That's not even ambiguous. Our legal system, based on a tradition of law and justice, gives Canadian society a valuable framework, the rule of law, freedom under the law, democratic principles, blah, 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 blah. So Canada has a legal system. Our system of laws are not right or wrong, and certainly not moral, just tradition. We can change our mind. We can change the law. Nothing to do with morals. It's whatever is legal or illegal. So you can be the most perverted, disgusted, vile human being that ever walked on earth and still not have done anything illegal. And then I went back about 200 years to a very old book about this word legal. And it said, legal, permitted by law, according to the law of works, or resting on works for salvation, as opposed to free grace. That's confusing. So legal has to do with the law, but grace or mercy or pardon or forgiveness or whatever is not done by the law. I guess forgiveness as in a pardon, but to forgive someone means somebody has to be in the place of giving for you. Instead of you giving, someone else gives for you. This free grace and forgiveness thing sounds like something to do with God again. I keep coming across God stuff in the law and constitutional documents, but I know God has nothing to do with the law. Churches do not make the laws. The legislature of a country does. How do I know that churches or God do not make laws? Well, there are four neighbors living side by each. A lawyer, an atheist, a plumber, and a Presbyterian minister. And they're all friends. I know it sounds like a joke coming, right? The lawyer made an oath to uphold the laws of Canada. The atheist obeys religiously every law of Canada given by Her Majesty the Queen. The plumber does not know what the law is, but does it anyways because he's scared of the law. And the Presbyterian minister, he tells everybody he obeys the laws of God. He's a man of God. And people give him money for being good, I guess. Now here's the reality, the facts. They all obey the same laws. Defend their actions in the same court, are all charged by Her Majesty the Queen when they break the law. They all suffer the same penalty, but they don't believe that. They just don't know that, except for the lawyer. You see, they're all friends, but only the lawyer is called a learned friend. That's lawyer speak. The rest of the people, friends, are just dimwits. In fact, if they get in trouble, they go over to their learned friend, the lawyer, and let him feed on their misery for his sustenance. Now, there are many groups in the world that protest the law or break the law because they hate it. They argue with their own servants, argue with the police, claiming that the cop does not have their will or consent. I don't have to pay my taxes. I never agreed to this. You don't own me. I'm not your property. Well, it's obvious that their knowledge is lacking. Whether you're a patriot group, common law group, tax protester, Freeman Society, Occupy Wall Street movement, an Aboriginal or religious society, or any other group I've never even heard of, you should change the course you're taking before you hurt yourself. You will become the proximate cause of your own injury. A smug judge once told a man who said these exact same things just before he sent him to jail. Now, if you don't own anything, what are you protesting about? I do not think you are protesting, I think you are begging. If you don't own any property, who are you protesting to? Just manage it and regulate it yourself. Or sorry, if you do own property, just no sense of protesting, just manage it and do it yourself. Do some real work and mind your own business. But right now, you don't own a business. You're told you do, but you don't. That's deception. That's a lie. That's a fraud. If people owned their own thing, this world would be so productive. We'd be so much further ahead. But anyways, I will explain and show why you have to obey the law and protesting the law is futile. I'm also going to explain basic law and government as you practice it. Any lawyer could do this, but they won't. They presume you already know. If you knew what he knew, you wouldn't need him, and he would have to get a real job. You only need a lawyer for what's called P&P, pleading and procedure. See, they have a procedure on how you plead and beg and solicit, pray, petition your God. In the tribal times, there were medicine men. In medieval times, there were priests. Today, we have lawyers. They're your intercessor to fulfilling the law for offering sacrifices and offerings. Did you know the government has no obligation to explain the law to you? In fact, we can't give you legal advice. You have to pay a lawyer for that. Or if you want it for free, go see your representative. After all, he or she is the one who spoke for you. They will tell you what you said and what you agreed to. They will tell you the law you made while you were too busy working. You see, when you go to court, there's a presumption that you know all of the law because you are the one who made it. A court cannot get a conviction otherwise. Let's have a quick look at law and government, a little history. Laws are basically rules, and government is basically the system by which rules govern things. So where did law and governments begin? Well, if you go on the internet and type in history of law, you get, you know, we evolved and we were barbarians and savages, and at some point, maybe 100,000 years ago or whatever, we started to form some rules, some communities, some tribes, some governance. There was probably a law back then that said, probably Cro-Magnon man or Neanderthal man had rules like, no man shall drag his wife around the hair, around by the hair, except under the authority of a license and subject to the regulations. Now, this history is not correct, but this is what you think of as history. Today, we only have a record going back about 7,000 years to Egyptian laws, the Hammurabi Code, Justinian Code of Laws. Anything before that seems to be lost in history. It's strange how we have records going back a few thousand years, and before that, nothing. Like it just fell off the face of the earth. I guess anything before that is prehistoric. That means before history, prehistoric, before history. That would mean before time. So I guess that at one time there was a time when there was no time, before history. That would be prehistoric. What a stupid word, huh? Prehistoric, before history. When we look at nations, countries, laws, rules, and government, it's just like the animal kingdom. No difference. No laws governing this. When man as a human animal developed, they probably decided that fighting each other and killing each other and stealing was not good. So they formed groups, families, clans, tribes, nations, countries, communities, societies. Each group would claim a territory. Mark it with their scent. We put out a flag or a fence. They defend a territory. We have an army for that. We don't let anyone in. If anybody comes into our territories, we deport them or drive them out. We have border guards, fences. We post watchmen along the borders so nobody can come in our claim. We claim this. It's ours. We were absolute sovereigns, rulers over their territory. Animals are the same. This is our territory. No one else can challenge it. Each territory had its own rules laid down by the Supreme One. The leader was the alpha male, the biggest and the strongest. Occasionally there'd be a fight. Who's going to be the leader? We today have a leadership campaign. Not quite like an animal, but pretty close. They still call it a fight. So someone that's old and experienced and knows everything would be the best leader. He's also the one that's allowed to breed. All the young would come from his seed. They're all the image of their father. So you have one common progenitor. They're all created in his image. If you're in Canada, you're all the sons of Canada, the image of Canada. If you're in Britain, you're all the sons of Britain, the image of Britain. Look at your identification. The UK, look at Canadian. Everything starts with Canada, this, Canada, that. This is the family or the tribal surname. So that's basically how government works. One big happy family. That's society. And you defend your sovereignty or territory with an army. Everybody fights or gets drafted to fight. Have a look at the last page in your passport. You can be called up for military service. Every citizen can. If you don't go, they shoot you, they kill you. Citizenship is allegiance in return for protection. That's what citizenship means. You want it to be protected from the boogeyman. So I swear my allegiance to this country. I will help fight and defend it. So it's a protection racket. It's like the mafia coming around your business. You need protection, you give me so much, allegiance, duties, I will protect you. If you want to take the claim of another group or their territory, you go to war and kill them. Today we have rules on how you can kill them, called international law. Now, civil war is like euthanasia. It's a civilized killing, a nice, polite way to kill someone. I mean, we have to kill you, but we can be civil about it. The civil war is also like killing your brother. You're in the same family. With a regular war, you're not killing your brother, because that is a brother from a different mother. But in a civil war, you're killing your brother. There's no law to control any of this. All these families around the world, what you call country societies, there's no laws controlling any of this, because we're not a world based on law. So that's basically basic history of law and governments, and that's how our world works. Now, there's always, in every society or family, there's always one at the top. Doesn't matter how many make up the whole society or family. There has to be one top guy, one supreme being, like a father, like a god. In the U.S., there were the founding fathers that created this being. In Canada, we have the fathers of Confederation, so you have to have fathers. But in Canada here, we already had a father called the queen or the king.
Let's continue with Mark.
So let's look at how laws are made in two countries like Canada and the U.S., but the principles are virtually the same for all countries, unless it's a pure dictatorship. So how is the law made? Well, I'm going to tell you something that nobody knows. It's a very well-guarded secret, but I'm going to tell you. Here's the secret. There's nobody here on earth but us people. And you're probably thinking, well, I know that. No, you don't. And I'll show you in a minute why you don't know that. All countries start the same. Someone finds a territory, claims it. Years ago, ships came over to Canada and the men said, I claim this in the name of King George. Whether there's people here or not, doesn't matter. We claim this in the name of King George. Another ship comes over to the U.S. area, men say, I claim this in the name of King George. Now, King George has a claim to both pieces of land. King George will defend his claim to the death. That's how sovereignty is maintained. Just like the animal kingdom. Now, the people in the U.S. thought it was stupid to pay some old guy in England a share of everything they work for, so they took their tax bills and said, return to sender. There was an animalistic fight, and the king gave up. Now we have a whole bunch of people standing around with no laws, no supreme being, no king. So, people said, well, we'll become our own king, all together as one. Jointly and severally. We'll write a constitution of the people, by the people, and for the people. After all, there's only us people here. So, out of many, we will become one. And that one is everybody together, like a big animal, okay? All joined together as one. Okay, now let's make some rules and laws. So there's 300 million of you or whatever now. You all get in the house to debate what the laws and the rules should be. But of course, everybody can't fit into this room or house, so, and somebody's got to be back home feeding the animals and doing some work. So we'll send one guy from each area. He'll speak for the rest of us. He will represent us. We will be the constituents. We will be part of this. He will speak for us. He will carry our voice. So I'm actually saying it. And it will be the same as if I'm there, and he will vote for us. This way, we'll all equally be lawmakers of the law. We are the sovereigns, all jointly and severally together. We'll all get to be the Father, the Supreme Being. We are free men on the land. So you form a sovereign state. You form a God. Right? A God power. One which governs itself independently of any foreign power. Nothing but the people have anything to say about the law. It is exclusive to the people. Now, you don't think you formed a God, that's a different word, but in law, you have. Now, you all have to agree with this because you're all freemen. You also have to pledge allegiance in order for all these agreements to be binding. So you all got to make an oath of allegiance to the one. But everyone's the same. You're all men, women, you're all equal. You can't pledge allegiance, there's nobody higher. So we got rid of the king, so we'll just pledge our allegiance not to the king, because he's gone, the flag. So we just take a rag, put it on a pole, and pledge allegiance to the flag. Nobody in their right mind would do something like that, but people do. And then we just make the kids, from time they're little, every day, pledge allegiance to the flag, to the flag, to the flag, loyalty to the flag. And it'll just become normal. This really is just self-allegiance and self-love. And we'll sell this concept as being the greater good. So the making of a law, one of the representatives, someone from one of the districts, stands up and says, there ought to be a law against that. Law against what? So he says, I'm going to write a bill. It says we all want to wear seatbelts when we drive. Everybody debates it, they vote on it, they agree, they vote, the majority wins. This bill is now passed by the House. Then with one loud voice, through one speaker, we say, let it be enacted. Send her off to the president, and this is how we will act. So it's your will, written in a bill. Your name's on the bill. This is exactly how we're going to act. The exact details are in the Highway Traffic Act. Wear your seatbelt. This is the script. It's called scripture. You must follow the act. It is your will, and your will is the promise, and your promise can be enforced by law. You give the bill to the president, and he signs it into law. Now it's time for you to perform, time for you to act right, time for you to pay the bill you wrote. The president will make sure your will is executed, carried out. He's your servant, the executive branch. He holds the bill. You are the author of the script. You authorized it. You have a character in the act, and you are a party to the act. It is your will. You're the boss. Your will. You said, I will wear my seatbelt. It is a promise you made in a parole contract. So who made the laws? You did. You said, I will do this, and I will not do that. When you say, I will, that is a promise, and a promise can be enforced or demanded in law. The promisee has a right to your promise. Who's the promisee? All the other members of the house. All the members of your society or your family. All have a right to your promise. You said, I want policeman to stop me if I'm not wearing my seatbelt. You said, I will pay $85 fine if I don't do it and get caught. In court, the executive has to prove your will, what you wanted, and that you did not do it. That is your conviction. It is what you believe should be the law, how you should act. You pay your servants to carry out your will, your desire. Judges are there to administer your judgments, your will, not their own judgments. The executive branch is there to carry out and execute your will. They hold the bill and your name is on it. So, who is the government? You are. You govern yourself. but you do it as one. You are the executive, the judge, and the lawmaker. You are all three branches of government. You are. Of course, someone carries out the role for you, and you pay them for their service to do it for you. This is your public servant. They only remind their masters what they wanted and the rules you made, because you were too busy watching Law and Order on TV while all this was going on. How can you know all the millions of rules, laws? Well, many are advertised or made known through the media. Your neighbor will tell you. Parents will tell you. But all must be posted. Why do people protest against themselves? This is what you wanted. The power came from you. You should be happy. But of course, nobody really understands how this all works. If everyone understood this, hardly anyone would ever be in jail. Why would anyone do something contrary to their own will? You'd have to be insane. All disgruntled protest groups are merely protesting their own will. You said you would get a permit to protest and do it peacefully. There's a law on that too. And if you don't, you said the policeman will come and clobber me on the head. You asked for it. You commanded it. And now you say, I don't like that system of law called democracy. Well, democracy is like four wolves and two sheep deciding, debating on what's for dinner tonight. 51% of the people can, by and through democracy, make the other 49 do anything by law. Even your rights are not absolute. They can be taken away too. Isn't that cool? Gotta love free will. Gotta love being a free man. Maybe now you know how your servants got your will and consent, how they got your power. Here's the illusion. The government is no one. There is nobody here but us people. In other words, government should be viewed as a public trust rather than the people who work for it. The servants work for a trust, your trust. You live in a self-governing society. You govern yourself. Even the people who work for the government are part of the government. See, an illusion is something you see but does not exist, and it's an erroneous mental representation. You are the government. You live in a self-governing society. Your servants are administering and executing your will. Of course, once you've made your government, you've lost all control. It's done by trust. You better trust them. Next time you feel the need to protest your government, just stand in front of a mirror and argue with whoever you see. You would be best to do it in private, because if anyone sees you and that information gets to court, they may lock you up in an insane asylum and force feed you some medication. Excuse me. Now let's look at slight differences in Canada. I gave you sort of the U.S. thing there. In Canada, sovereignty is not in the people. In practice it is, but not in law. The Queen is a constitutional sovereign, which means someone made her a queen. The Constitution made her a queen. She's just a woman, but the Constitution made her a queen. We are told this is a right she has from God. It's not true, but that's what they tell you. Or maybe she's referring to a different God. We'll find out later. Now, everybody knows she's just a woman like any other woman. But when she puts on the crown and a nice dress, we call her a queen. It's just make-believe, and nobody is really fooled. She knows that too. Her own motto is, she must be seen to be believed. That's her motto. You have to see me to believe me. When she dies, someone else puts on the crown, the metal ring. It's called assuming or taking the place of, and if he's a man, we call him a king. It's just acting, nothing serious, just playing by the rules, that's all. It is the crown that everyone is really bowing to. A molten ring of metal put on the head. Just a material effigy of something. It's like the U.S. flag that people sing to and put their hand over their heart. It's a way to show their love and loyalty to the flag. But in reality, it's just self-love. And the song you sing is called an anthem. all countries have an anthem. An anthem is a sacred song, a hymn. A hymn is a song to your God. I just thought atheists would like to know that. We used to sing in Canada, God Save the Queen. Now we sing, Oh Canada. She's still our queen, but we are no longer a colony. She gave us some more rights and freedoms. Hell, we're almost like Americans now. The queen thing is sort of like when Fred, your neighbor, appears as Santa Claus at the children's party. The kids don't know it's Fred. They believe it's Santa. But we know it, don't we? It's just all make-believe, pretending. Like when your boy writes a letter to Santa Claus and he says he's been good and he would like to have a slingshot for Christmas. You take the letter and you tell him that you will mail it. Of course, you throw it in the garbage and sit down and write a letter, which you give him from Santa Claus because Santa Claus doesn't exist. It's just make-believe. Can anyone make you believe something that's not true? No way. We are educated. We are sophisticated. So in Canada, the advisory democracy does the same as in the USA. In Canada, we have a House of Commons as opposed to a Congress. We both have a Senate, like the old Roman law. Do not ever think the Roman Empire died. It just moved across the street over to the Church of Rome. Somebody says there ought to be a law against this or that, writes up a bill, they debate it for a while, and then vote thumbs up or thumbs down, it is passed, we give it to the Queen, she gives it royal assent, and it becomes her will, our bill. Her will, our bill. The law, or should I say the bill, is governed by the rule of law. On the top of every bill it says, with the advice and consent of the Legislative Assembly. So, here you have it. We've given her legal advice, told you legal advice is protected, and our consent. There you have it. We have all given legal advice. Why? Because we're all attorneys. But you don't know that. We're not learned attorneys, just dimwit attorneys. So does she really need our advice and consent? No. But it makes it more binding as a matter of law. We now have to act and perform just like the bill says. So read the act. Whatever act there is, and act accordingly. When people say, I don't agree with this, well, the fact is, you're the one who wrote it, you voted on it, it was your advice, and you gave your consent. As a member. What you're really saying is that this democracy sucks. And you would be right. But you don't know how to get out of this because you don't even know how you got into this. Hell, you'll even go out and fight and die for democracy because you've been told, this is fantastic. It's the best system in the world. We live in the best country in the world. Every country, they all believe they live in the best country in the world because they've all, right? Except for a few countries where they want to come to another country. So in a democracy, everything becomes the property of the Supreme One. The supreme being, the state. Every nation on earth operates by communism. You just can't see it. You have to give up ownership of all property. You alienate yourself. You alienate your property when you do this thing called an atonement, when you become the attorney. I'm going to explain this in the Unraveled programs. So you lose all property and everything becomes common or public. You only hold it privately. You are given some rights which are not absolute, but better nothing since you have abandoned your absolute birthrights. You abandoned those. You want human rights, civil rights, human rights, citizenship rights. Governments are not established to secure your God-given rights. That is a lie. How many times I've heard that, read that? Founding fathers to countries have stated that? That's a lie, an outright lie. Only the law and your promise to perform your duties can secure your God-given rights. In a democracy, you get to pay yourself for everything you think is free. And then you get to work even harder to pay all your servants. The people who play the role of government inspire you to vote for them by saying, I will give you something for free. You will get it for free after you pay for it. or you will get it for free after it is taken from someone else and given to you. But what's the difference? You're all one big happy family in the pursuit of happiness. But remember, you're only living a dream. It's not real. Some of you will wake up and realize you're sleeping. Let me explain in more detail why you own no property. The short answer to it is because you became a lawmaker. If only you had not joined this lawmaking body, you would still own your property. When you became what you are not, you left your birthright behind. Inalienable rights cannot be transferred. You have to go back to what you were to claim them. What you believe you are and what you claim to be is just an illusion, make believe. So let's have a look at an example to prove you own no property. If John Doe stole Fred's lawnmower out of his garage, who charges the thief? Well, the owner has a right to charge him. So in the U.S., it might be the state of Idaho versus John Doe, or the people versus John Doe, or the U.S. versus John Doe. In Canada, it's also the owner. Her Majesty the Queen versus John Doe. Fred doesn't charge anybody. He doesn't own anything. He's only the tattletale. He's the one who phoned the cops. If convicted of the crime and a fine is paid, does Fred get the money or does the owner get the money? The penalty. Who gets the penalty? The owner. Fred doesn't get a penny. Nobody stole from Fred. Fred doesn't own anything. Fred had it, but doesn't own it. Fred doesn't even have to go to court. He can stay home and watch cartoons. Under real law, Fred would accuse John Doe, and if found guilty, Fred gets his lawnmower back and he gets another lawnmower as the price for the penalty for the crime. The victim in a democracy is society. The one, not you. You still think you own something?
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476.
Everything is owned by the society you live in. Everything is public. Everything is common. You only hold public property privately. You own title to nothing. You only hold title from the owner. You are not a house owner. You have a household. You hold it as a tenant. You do not own your children. You only hold custody. The owner can change the parent, the guardian, the babysitter, whenever they want using the law. If you ever want to know who owns what you think you own, just look at the image and superscription on the money you hold. You cannot issue money unless you own property. This is a good time to have another glimpse at the trick and the illusion and how it works. A fundamental, probably the fundamental concept of law is that one can only apply his will or rules to that which he made, which he owns, what's his. That's it. It's the most fundamental thing about law. If it's not yours, you have no say. If you try to control something or someone that is not yours, that's unlawful. So if you want to be a lawmaker, a governor, if you want to create something, anything, if you want to be a lawmaker, a governor, you have to create something, anything. But of course, we are human and can create nothing. So what does create mean? Create means, it comes from the Latin ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. To bring into being from nothing, to cause to exist. Creation is magic. It's a mystery. We can't create anything. We can't take nothing and make something. That's a supernatural act. We're part of nature. We're part of the creation. We're not the creator. And when you think you can do that, you're practicing the supernatural. You're practicing the occult. So creation is a supernatural ability. It does not exist in nature. There's no creation in nature. Nature is the creation. God is supernatural. He's above nature. He is the author of nature. As a sovereign, we are practicing the supernatural. That is called the occult. And we practice it with magic words. We create nothing and believe it is something so that we can apply our will to it. I'll be elaborating on this more later. So, first the people who had no law standing around in the field after they got rid of their king in the U.S., they created the U.S., took a claim, and we're going to make this into something. They wrote its constitution and a nation was born. Born of you. You gave it birth. The people gave it birth. Now, can the USA give you birth to you? You already created the father. Now all you need is a son to do the father's will. Yes, the US, the one, will give you a birth certificate. It's not a real son. It's only a make-believe son. But it was devised and created to serve the purposes of government and society, sort of like an immaculate conception. It is basically just magic. If you can recall, this is exactly what Judge Blackstone said about persons. He tried to codify the common law. He said, an artificial person, a mask, an identity, was devised and created for the purposes of government and society. It is a non-living entity or being created or birthed in the image of the U.S., and there will be a date it was issued, a day that this being came forth. At this point, you may use it as your proof of claim to be that. But since you cannot, the best you can do is think, act, and speak for it. And of course, believe you are. And when summoned to court, you must appear to be. I think, therefore I am. It is your mask, and that is how the oldest trick and illusion in the book is done. The trick or illusion is so normal and usual that no one can see it or grasp it. First, you created something in your image. Then you claim to be the image of what you created. This is pure occultism. You now have a false identity, a counterfeit, a token. And you personify it. That means you give body to it. You're giving body. You ever watch that movie called Ghost, where one, right, used the body of somebody dead, a spirit being? A being created in your image, your semblance, a resemblance of you, a similitude, a graven image, a character. This is a sovereign citizen and a subject. One is above the law and the other is under the law. How do you think your laws are made? Everyone is above the law. Only someone above the law can make the law. Only someone above the law can amend the law, repeal the law, strike down the law. You're the one who made the law, so you're above the law. But you also got to be underneath the law. So you're both lawmaker and law obeyer. Because there's only us people here, remember? So there's two of you. One's above the law, the other one's underneath the law. That's a split personality, a schizophrenic, a man who has two lives, a public one and a private one, a Jekyll and Hyde, a multiple personality disorder, a psychosis, insanity. As a citizen, you have your rights. As a subject, you owe your allegiance, your duties. If you can recall, a person is any being with the capacity for rights and duties and is confined to that. Any being. Anything. Real, imaginary, live, dead, spiritual, whatever. Of course, with your supernatural abilities, you can give life to it. You can give it life, or at least appear to. This is divination. All these things that I'm telling you are bad, by the way, are against the law. Okay? Now there are two beings, two distinct identities, but you can only see one. The mask conceals your true identity because you are confused. You have a confusion of face. One is natural, one is artificial. One is true, one is fiction. One is alive, one is dead. One is real, one is personal. One is private, one is public. We have to create a double identity in order for our legal system to work. Remember, there is only us people here. Your agreements have to be done with somebody. Your contracts, right? Nice system of law, don't you think? Have you ever noticed nobody ever shows identification when they go into court? You need identification for everything. You want to book a hotel? Need identification. Go to the airport, plane ride, voting, go to a rental shop, rent a step ladder. I need some identification. Open a bank account, need some identification. Mailbox service, need some identification. Take Billy to school, we'll need some identification. When you walk into court, the judge looks at you and says, your name, please, and you tell him your name. Why don't you ask them, would you like to see some identification? They don't want to see your identification. You know why? Because they don't want the son of Canada. They want the person of Canada. They don't want the dead guy. They want the live guy who did the act. Back to my story now to finish it. So now I'm about 2 years into my quest, completely confused. I know nothing. But in my quest, two things stick out in my mind that seem relevant somehow. These two things are words, just plain, ordinary, everyday words, and this concept of God. Yeah, God. What's God all about? Now, I'm by no means a religious man, but I can tell you that these two concepts led to all my discoveries, but not in the way you think. You've been trained to think about words and God in a certain way. As we proceed, you're going to learn that nothing you do in life has anything to do with God, even you religious people. But why then? Are there references to God in courts, on money, in constitutional documents, in law, in politics? It's everywhere. And the problem I'm having with words is that I can't make heads or tails out of what words even mean. The more I learn, the more I get confused. So, to you, this is all just a story. It's a true story. And you're thinking, well, if this is all true, then there's got to be a good reason for it. Something I don't know, something he doesn't know, whatever. No, it doesn't work like that. I told you I was going to tell you things that are unbelievable. And believe me, I've only just begun. So in the next video, I will talk about words, just plain, everyday, ordinary words. And after watching this next video, you may want to slow down how fast you read. Till then, my name is Marcus.
I hoped you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Servant King. Hi, my name is Marcus. Marcus will continue to explore our confusions of things. Mind, being, voice, face, law, things, money, and God. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, awaken-us.org, under podcast/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives the Living Testimony, second edition with added preference and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as the Creator poster, the Natural Laws poster, and do enter to win a free copy of my book. Winners are named every 3 months, along with more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, and book signings. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the way.